Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm so happy to be here in this midst. I thank the church and the people who have gathered every Sunday morning who come here. Hallelujah. In spite of all the situation, they come faithfully. Let's thank God for their faithfulness. Let's thank God for the opportunity He has given us to gather this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to gather this morning. Lord, help us to hear your word this morning. Hallelujah. 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 You have set us free from all our burdens, O God. You have lifted us from the pit, O God. This morning, O Lord, we want to hear from you, Lord, from your word, O God. Touch us, O God. We commit everything into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to thank Pastor for giving me an opportunity, more than after 8 months, to be back in Hope Church. Hallelujah. We know that we are all eager to be back, but in His own time, God will allow us to be here. Hallelujah. Even in this time, let's focus on the Word of God this morning. Hallelujah. You might have seen my title on the message, on the slide. You might see it's a Christian service center, or it's an analogy of an auto service center, and I want to share this morning comparing it how an auto service center helps to maintaining a car. We know why we use auto service center. We use auto service center to do what? To do regular maintenance. Hallelujah. What do we do regular maintenance? If you don't maintain your car, one day it'll stop on the middle of the highway and you won't have help. You need to take care of your car because it will help you for the longevity of the car. If you want the car to survive for many years, you need to maintain it regularly. Hallelujah. Why do you go to the service center? Hallelujah. So that the man can check if there is any hidden problems. There are many parts to the car, but we don't know how it works. Many times we are ignorant of many things. Hallelujah. And the service center finds out. They have something called multi-point check. Some places they call it 21-point check, where they check the condition of the car, different parts of the car, moving parts of the car, and see if there is anything wrong with it. And if there's anything wrong, they recommend solutions for that. So we fix issues immediately so that it's not too late. We try to eliminate costly repairs in the future. That's why we do the maintenance. Hallelujah. Similarly, as Christians, we have to inspect ourselves through the Word of God. Hallelujah. We don't go to the service center. We go to the Word of God. The Word of God is, Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, all scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. The Word of God teaches us what is true and makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. Hallelujah. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That's the purpose of the Word of God. So when the Word of God speaks to our hearts, when we spend time with the Word of God, we need to respond to the Word of God. Hallelujah. If the Word of God tells you to fix something, we need to fix it. Hallelujah. So we need to do certain things. I want to list down some of the things that when the Word of God talks to us, we need to obey. Hallelujah. James 1, chapter 1, verse 22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. We must do what it says. Many times we are quick to listen, but we fail to obey. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. We need to obey the word of God. Hallelujah. Next point I'm going to say is when the word of God speaks to you, you need to correct yourself. James 4, chapter 4, verse 11 says, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law and not to judge whatever it applies to you. We should not be using the word of God to judge other people. You need to use the word of God to correct oneself. Hallelujah. Many times we fall into the trap of judging other people, but the word of God says, use the word of God first, correct yourself. That's what Jesus said, why are you looking at the speck on your brother's eyes? First look at the log that is on front of your eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next, we need to focus, when we hear the word of God, we need to humble ourselves. Hallelujah. Let us not be self-confident. Many times we read the word of God, we are so confident, and we forget that God gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. James chapter 4 verse 13 says, look here, who can say, tomorrow I'm going to do these things, tomorrow I'm going to accomplish these things, I can do all things. Many people will use that verse and say, I can do all things. But we should ask, Bible says we should always say, if God willing, I will do this. If God willing, I can do all these things. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we are boasting about our pretentious plans. Hallelujah. That's why we need to humble ourselves when we hear the word of God. Next response is be patient. Let's not grumble about each other or you will be judged. James chapter 5 verse 9 says, hallelujah. When we hear the word of God, let's be patient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times when we hear the word of God, we expect our surroundings to change. But we forget to say, Bible says, be patient. Hallelujah. We need to patiently wait in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Things may not change immediately, but the word of God says, be patient. Hallelujah. 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 Why do we need to inspect our lives against the word of God? The result is endurance, my brothers and sisters. James chapter 1 verse 3 says, for you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Why do we need endurance? Because endurance is needed in these last days. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is predicting the future of the earth. God has predicted that this whole world will be filled with sin. Sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So endurance is a must have for any Christian to survive in these days. You know the parable of the ten bridesmaids. Well, out of that, the five were wise and the other five were foolish. Why were the five were foolish? They were foolish because they didn't have enough oil to when it really mattered. Hallelujah. This is why endurance is so important. If you don't have endurance, you won't last long. And when Jesus comes, you won't be ready for when the coming of the Lord. That's why endurance needs to be developed. So now let's focus to the main message. Hallelujah. The title of this message I had given, three-point inspection. Hallelujah. What is three-point inspection? I've taken this from the verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. So this is a three-point I want to focus this morning, that we need to inspect our lives against this verse. Hallelujah. You have to check your life if you have a pure heart, or if you have a clear conscience, or if you have a genuine faith. Hallelujah. Let me give a context to this verse. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy was in charge of the church of Ephesus, and in the church of Ephesus, there were a lot of dangers of false teaching that was deviating from the truth. There were people in the church who were more focused on myths and mythology and spiritual pedigrees. Hallelujah. What does that mean? They're saying they're talking a lot of things that doesn't make sense, doesn't help them in growing into faith. It doesn't build their endurance. What they focused on is, I have a spiritual background, I have a spiritual ancestry, so everything will be fine. Hallelujah. So things that create speculation, meaningless talks, meaningless discussions, which did not help them to living a life of faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul is advising, giving an instructions to Timothy. Timothy was a young man. So he's telling you, Timothy, don't be trapped on this false teaching, but I want you to focus on three things: pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. What is pure heart? What is heart? Let's talk about what is heart. A lot of people talk about heart in different interpretation, but what did the Bible say? The Bible says the heart is the symbol of an inner being, the inner man. The inner man, the who you are, the personality, the character, the intellectual, the emotions. That's the inner man. That's the true you. You are that person. Hallelujah. Not what you see outside. The inner man, the character that's inside of you. He is the heart of the core of man. Hallelujah. God says he wants the inner man to be clean and humble. Hallelujah. If you read in Psalms chapter 24, here the psalmist is asking, who can stand in the presence of God? Who can go into the mountain? Who can climb the mountain of the Lord? The word says in chapter 24 verse 4 says, only those whose hands are and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies, only those people can get into the presence of God. So purity in your heart, in your inner man, is expected by God. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. Only the pure in heart can produce good fruits. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23 says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear the word, understand God's word, and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That means a pure heart can produce great things for the Lord. Hallelujah. So a pure heart is a must-have. Hallelujah. So we need to inspect our hearts. But there is a problem with the heart that many of us don't understand. There is a fundamental problem with the heart. The heart is a wicked and deceptive. Mark chapter 7 verse 21, we know this verse, for the within our hearts, a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these wild things comes from within. So man has a fundamental problem in his heart. His heart is deceptive and wicked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The heart can easily be hardened and resistant towards God. That's the problem with man's heart. He naturally becomes, hallelujah, resistant, rebellious to God. This is what happened with the people of Israel. Israel people received all the blessings. They got all the promises. They walked in the middle of the Red Sea. They got heavenly manna. The God did great miracles, delivered them from the clutches of Pharaoh. But still, they couldn't believe in God. They didn't trust in God. They failed. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. So how did the heart become so vulnerable? So the question is, how did this all happen? To fix this, you need to understand the cause of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Garden of Eden, Adam listened to the devil instead of God. God said, do not eat the fruit of good and evil. But he ate it. And when he started listening to the devil, the serpent, he disobeyed God. When he disobeyed God, something happened in his heart. He died. As God told him, if you eat it, you will die. And there was a death that happened in Adam. In his heart, the spirit that had relationship with God died. And this is what we call the spiritual death. So man is spiritually dead when the moment he is born. So every descendants of Adam are spiritually dead. And because there is death in us, because we don't have light in us, there's darkness. And because of chaos, when there is chaos, there is lawlessness. And because there is lawlessness, all these evil desires come out of you. Hallelujah. This is a problem. So how did God solve this problem? Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came up with a plan to rescue man. Hallelujah. To bring it back to the old condition. Hallelujah. What did he do? He called Abraham, hallelujah, from the Chaldeans. He picked Abraham, who was a man of faith, and he trusted in God, and he walked out in faith. Hallelujah. And God gave him a promise that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a nation, hallelujah, who will be faithful to me. Hallelujah. I'm going to write in their hearts the laws that God, I'm going to give you. Hallelujah. They're going to be able to live righteously. victory. They're going to win against all the powers of darkness. But so God gave the laws of Moses. Hallelujah. He gave the law of Moses and the ceremonial sacrifices so that they can live a life that is of purity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what happened? The law did not solve the problem. Why did it not solve the problem? The law was given to show that man is sinful. Until then, man had no law that tells him whether he is doing right or wrong. So what God did, first he gave the law. The law was given to prove that the heart was sinful. Until then, man had no idea that what he was doing was right or wrong. But the moment God gave the law of God, the law to Moses, that when he says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt honor your father and mother, when he gave those commandments, immediately, hallelujah, God, the sin, hallelujah, was convicted now. Man was convicted of his sin, hallelujah. He immediately knew that what he's doing has been wrong. And that's why the law proved that man was sinful. And he was condemned to die. That there is a power that was enslaving man. The power of sin was in control. Hallelujah. So what we read is, first God gave the law, hallelujah, to convict man. And then he gave a second plan, hallelujah. The plan was the new covenant through Jesus Christ. The first covenant, the covenant of Moses, and second covenant he came through Jesus Christ. What was that covenant for? The covenant of Jesus was, now Jesus came in the flesh, hallelujah, because the sin needs to be convicted. And because law was given, someone has to die. Hallelujah. The word of God says, hallelujah, the wages of sin is death. And death was the ultimate result of sin. And if death needs to be given to man, law has to be given. And because law was provided, now death has to be defeated. And how can death be defeated? Only the Son of the living God can die and liberate us. Hallelujah. This is the gospel message. And Jesus came down in the flesh of a human being, a body that is enslaved to sin. He came in, and without sin, he died on the cross. He defeated the power of sin on the cross of Calvary and defeated death, hallelujah, when he rose on the third day. This is the message of salvation. This is the plan that God, hallelujah, executed on this earth. So now those who believe in Jesus have the power to overcome sin, because Jesus has already paid the price for all our sins. He destroyed the power of sin that held us. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He gave us an alternate power, a new power he gave us. Hallelujah. Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. How did we become new? A spiritual man was reborn. The man that was died, the spiritual man who died when Adam sinned, was reborn when we start believing in Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, we are born again. Hallelujah. A spiritual man is reborn. Hallelujah. And now the spiritual man can communicate with God. Now the spiritual man can talk to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this is the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that God gave to us on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And God has given us this new power that leads us to life and peace. Hallelujah. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Apostle Paul writes it in Romans. Hallelujah. And who are led by the Spirit, they will have godly desires. Hallelujah. This is what the plan for making our heart to be pure. Hallelujah. So if your heart, hallelujah, is trusting in Jesus, is born again this morning, hallelujah, you have a pure heart. Hallelujah. Is your heart trusting in Jesus? Is your heart in under the control of the Holy Spirit? This is what we need to inspect this morning. The first inspection is, check your heart. Are you surrendered to Jesus this morning? Are you in the control of the Holy Spirit? If not, hallelujah, how do I know if I am making mistake? If you are living in sin, if sin's power is controlling you, if you're not able to overcome sin in your life, if you are repetitively sinning again and again, then you need need to reevaluate your faith in Jesus. You need to go back to Jesus this morning and asking God, give me, Lord, forgive me. Give me the power that resurrected you. Give me the power that overcame sin. Many times Christians, we always think, believe in Jesus for eternity, but we forget to remember that Jesus also won the power of sin. And so the same power that is in Christ Jesus lives in us. So we can also live a life of holiness. God called us to be holy. He will, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why it is so important. Without holiness, no one can see God. No one can come to God. Hallelujah. That's why your heart should be holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Next, we're going to focus on clear conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clear conscience means, what is conscience? Conscience means the discernment to see what is right or wrong. If you do wrong, you'll have guilty conscience. If you do right, you have a good conscience. Hallelujah. Two incidents, let me tell you. David was asked, was told by his soldiers, they told him that Saul is sitting inside a cave. Why don't you go and kill him right now? So David goes and tries to kill Saul, but in an instant, inside his heart there is a conscience. In his conscience speaks to him, don't kill the anointed, so don't kill him right now. So immediately David was convicted in his heart and he said, I'm not going to kill God's anointed. That is good conscience. Hallelujah. Let me give an incident of a guilty conscience. We look at Judas. Hallelujah. Bible says Satan entered Judas when, hallelujah, when Satan entered Judas, he betrayed the Son of God. When he betrayed his Son of God for 30 pieces of silver, he didn't know what he was doing. But one day, but after a few hours, he realized what he did. He realized he has betrayed an innocent man. So he goes back to the temple priest and he says, I have betrayed an innocent man. Hallelujah. So he had guilty conscience in his heart and he wanted to, hallelujah, give back the 30 pieces of silver and bring back Jesus. But it was too late. But because of that, hallelujah, what did he do? He was so guilty and of his sin, of what he did, he went and hanged himself. So conscience can be good conscience and be bad conscience. Good conscience will happen before you even do wrong. Bad, guilty conscience will come after you do a wrong. That's why many times the Bible says, hallelujah, how will the people who have not heard the law of God, how will they be judged? They'll be judged through their conscience. Hallelujah. Every human being who is born on this earth has a conscience. If they do wrong, good, they have a good conscience. But if they do wrong, they will feel guilty. There is no, God will judge them based on that conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, Bible says we should have a clear conscience. So why do we need a clear conscience? What does clear conscience mean? A clear conscience means you know what is right, you know what is wrong. That is clear conscience. Hallelujah. But many times we are living in a time period where there is a lot of people have, hallelujah, hallelujah, have corrupted their conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19 says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their conscience as their faith has been shipwrecked. If you don't keep your conscience clear, hallelujah, Bible says your faith will be shipwrecked, hallelujah. If you don't keep a clear conscience, you will believe in false teachings. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, hallelujah, there are many people have left the true faith and they follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from. If you are listening to false teaching, if you are listening to demonic preaching, Bible says you will be enslaved and your conscience will be dead. You will not know what you're doing is right or wrong. And this is why we see a lot of times when you see why Christians are doing so many wrong things. It's because their conscience have been dead. Hallelujah. That's why clear conscience helps us to live godly lives. How does a clear conscience help us to live a godly life? It helps you to do wrong even in the midst of suffering. It helps you to do wrong, whatever be your circumstances. It helps you to live a godly life. Hallelujah. That is why you need to have a clear conscience. How is our conscience made clear? Hallelujah. You don't need to go further than Calvary. The clear conscience comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 13 says, hallelujah, under the old system, blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Think how much more the blood of Jesus will purify our consciences with sinful deeds. Hallelujah. If you have a heart that is done wrong, Bible says the blood of Jesus will purify your conscience from sinful deeds. Hallelujah. There's no better sacrifice that was won the victory on the cross of Calvary than the blood of Jesus. The pure blood of Jesus, hallelujah, can wipe away all the sins. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus helps us to enter God's presence. Hebrews chapter 10 says, for our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Praise God for Jesus' blood. Even if our sins are like scarlet, even if our sins are like crimson red, it will be made as white as snow. It will be made as white as wool. Isaiah chapter 1 verse says, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise be to God, hallelujah. I remember a story where I was listening to, and when I was very young, hallelujah, hallelujah, in the Gulf, hallelujah, a pastor came from India. He was a former Naxalite, and he killed a lot of people, hallelujah. He was killed, he had murdered a lot of people for money, hallelujah. He was a dacoit, and he has cut people's hand, drank their blood. He was demonic in his activities, hallelujah. And he was jailed in the for death. He had a death sentence, but in the prison, God touched him. God delivered him, gave him. He received Jesus as his savior, and he got by the grace of God, he didn't get death sentence. The president of India gave him removed him from the death penalty list, and he came out of jail, and he became a child of God, and he was preaching the gospel. And as I was hearing this message, in my heart I was getting so scared, because how can this evil man, how can he preach this gospel, how can this evil man who has killed a lot of people, drank their blood, cut people's head off, how can I look at this man? I was so scared, I ran away after the service. I was standing outside as I was waiting for the car. This pastor came from behind and has put his hand on my shoulders. Immediately a shiver came through my spine. I was scared, because how can an evil man touch me? Hallelujah. But later on, as I grew older, I understood one thing. Hallelujah. Even if your sin, hallelujah, even if you have committed a sin, is as scarlet, even if your sin is crimson red, the blood of Jesus can wipe it clean. Hallelujah. That made that man to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. This morning, if you are struggling with sin, if you have a guilty conscience this morning, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse you and make you whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, I'm going to get into the genuine faith. Hallelujah. What is genuine faith? Faith without works is dead. You know, in James we read that if you have faith, it should be showing fruits in your lives. Hallelujah. 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 We read the great people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We read how Abel gave a better offering than Cain. How could Abel give a better offering? How did Enoch live a life of pleasing? He walked with God, and one day he vanished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We read the story of Noah. Noah built an ark. Hallelujah. When there was no rain, Noah obeyed God and built an ark and saved his family. How did Abraham left his home in search of a heavenly home? Hallelujah. Sarah believed in the promises of God, and God, hallelujah, hallelujah, blessed her with a child. How could these people produce fruits of faith in their life? It's because they trusted in Jesus. Hallelujah. They've trusted in God. Hallelujah. When you have that genuine faith, it will make you do extraordinary things for the Lord. You think, how can I give a better sacrifice, Lord? How can I live a holy life, oh God? How can I live a life of pleasing? How can I live a life that will do good deeds for other people? How can I live a life, that is living like a foreigner in this land? How can I trust in you and in spite of all circumstances? Hallelujah. Jesus is the greatest example of that. Hallelujah. People of genuine faith, you don't have to look no further than our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, I in them will produce, hallelujah, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you cannot do anything. Hallelujah. Many times we are focused on doing a lot of great things, good things. Hallelujah. But we fail to ask, is it what Jesus asked you to do? Hallelujah. Many times we are more focused on what should I do? What should I do? Hallelujah. But we forget to ask, is this what Jesus wants me to do? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. The author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Well, let's follow the example of Jesus. He said he never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He did not threaten or revenge anyone when he suffered. This is genuine faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the big picture of my this morning's message is this one. The big picture is, if you want to live a life of godly life, if you want to live a godly life, first you need to inspect your heart. Hallelujah. Is your heart under the power of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is your heart fully trusting in Jesus? If you are fully trusting in Jesus, hallelujah, you will be able to go to the next level of clear conscience. How does your conscience be clear? Bible says, hallelujah, in 1 John chapter 1, but if you are living in the light and God is the light, and then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses from all sin. When you have the right relationship with God, you can come into the presence of God boldly, and you can call him Abba Father. Hallelujah. And when you call Abba Father, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. And when the blood of Jesus cleanses you, your conscience is clear. Hallelujah. You know what is right and what is wrong. When you know your mind is clear, when your thoughts are clear, when you know what is right and wrong through the word of God, you can go and hallelujah, the genuine faith. You can do what is right for God. Hallelujah. When you are in and you inspect these three areas of your life this morning, you know what is the final result? Bible says you'll be filled with love. Hallelujah. What the greatest commandment Jesus said, for thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. If you are not fixing your eyes on Jesus, if your heart is not pure, if your heart is, if conscience is not clear, if you don't have genuine faith, we cannot live a life of love. Your heart will not be, your life will not be filled with love. This morning, this is a message I want to share with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we want to conclude this morning. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may ask, Lord, how can I come back to you? Hallelujah. How can I start from the beginning? How can I make my heart pure this morning, O Lord? If my heart is not pure, Lord, my whole thing it will go astray, O Lord. Bible says God gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. So humble yourself this morning. Hallelujah. Ask God for wisdom. Bible says the wisdom of God is pure. It creates a submissive heart. So ask God for wisdom this morning. And when God gives you wisdom, he gives you humility. When you have humility, God gives you grace. When God gives you grace, you will start understanding the word of God and you will live a life of purity. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we pray, oh God, that this morning, as we have heard, hallelujah, we inspect our hearts this morning. We pray that you would speak to us, that our hearts be renewed this morning, that our hearts be, hallelujah, filled with your Holy Spirit, that we trust you wholly. Hallelujah. Lord, make our conscience clear, oh God. Lord, help us to live a life of godly life, oh Lord, in this times. We pray that your hand be upon each one of us who are listening. Lord, strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Protect them, give them grace. Lord, continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.